the Badlands. Explain those Badlands. That's a hell of a name.
Everywhere you go, your manners are with you, and they leave their mark. They help you feel sure of yourself, too, and they make an impression on people.
Demonstrators wreaked havoc in Washington, D.C. and destroyed storefront windows.
It takes from 15 to 20 years to demoralize a nation.
Make political commitments to curb population growth.
We didn't simulate this. We didn't practice.
What the hell did they let the reporters in there for?
MK Ultra.
8 million adults are affected by it.
Don't try it.
There will be no outcome that leaves Saddam Hussein in power.
A brand new group called ISIL.
We're speeding up training of ISIL forces.
The one person who wasn't random was the security guard.
America was founded as a constitutional republic.
Take the incumbents out. Take citizens to Washington.
I will totally obliterate the deep state. We will obliterate the deep state.
Yes, yes. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Altered State. I'm here with my ever-present, awesome co-host, Zach Payne, who is coming to us from a cell phone right now. Is that correct?
Yeah, so funny story. One of the last empty lots in the neighborhood began new construction yesterday. And when they began tearing out all of the trees and the vegetation, one of the first things they also tore out was the main fiber line bringing in internet into the neighborhood. And so
who needs fiber optics? No.
Yeah, no. So anyways, they're supposed to know where that stuff is before they start digging, but let's be honest. The construction industry down here is loaded up with people who probably shouldn't be working in America in the first place. So nobody pays attention to that stuff. That's true. It's honest to God truth. I mean, I've got friends who are American who work in new home construction. And so anyways, they tore the line out and my internet's been out now for a full 2 days. We're going on 3 days now. I can't see the chats. I don't know if anybody's actually here. I'm trusting you, Brad, to say that we're actually live because I've got nothing. Like, I'm so out of my element. I couldn't even find your Truth Social account. Like, I can't use my phone. I could find it on my phone, but I'm looking on my iPad and there's no native Truth Social app for the iPad. It's this like squished down iPhone version. And I go and search for you, all the disambiguations of your name that I can remember and nothing comes up. And I don't know if that's a problem with the Truth Social app or it's because I just can't figure it out if I'm under stress. Well, I don't know. So anyways,
I gotta tell you something that made me, I've always wondered about. When do you remember when Weed Media, like way back, right, where True Social first opened up, and then there was, I forget who, popped in chat, like, I know someone at True Social, send us your screen names and he'll verify us all, right? There was two different rounds of that, and both times I was like the only person who didn't get verified, and it's given me complex to this day, and I was like, why are they not verified? Like, am I a problem? Like, I don't understand. But I think it may be a fly too close to the sun with a certain letter of the alphabet, I guess. But nevertheless, who knows, man? Maybe I'm being blocked on there. I don't see why I would be, but to this day, it's still a little weird.
Here's the thing. I was able to find Abby. I was like, well, I want to share the show. I can't get to the show on my computer. I said, I'll just go to Abby's account because I know Blue Eyes. That's an easy one. And I'm sure that she'll have shared it or she'll have shared something else where she's tagged Brad. Nothing. I couldn't find anything. There was nothing there. But it doesn't mean that she hasn't done it, but it just means I didn't have enough time to get to it. I also tried to search for Lisa. I could not find Lisa either. Like, I think maybe it's... Yeah, I don't know what the deal is. I don't know. So I just gave up, and here we are, and I hope everything works okay.
I think a lot of this software, like algorithm and type stuff like that, is a lot harder to perfect than we think. Like, just looking at, things like, say, True Social versus X. Now, True Social has come so far, and it's so awesome. But there are still things where search engines, they're better on X. All these wonderful search engines that have popped up. But nevertheless, I, as much as I hate Google, I always search first in Google first time. It's just their algorithms really are great when you're searching something that they're not purposely trying to hide. Or say with even Rumble. The view counts. I think the view counts are a little jacked on here. And that's something that was the same on YouTube. Remember, because I loved YouTube for years. And I remember it was just a pretty much a straight, every time someone clicks it, it was a view. But the problem with that is if someone comes in and out of a show five times, that's five views. So it's technically not really, you know, it's not really the true representation, but they stopped that. It was the thing in like 2011 or 12 where YouTube got on top of that and they figured out how to push back on that because some people were loading up. They were downloading browser apps, browser extensions for the Firefox, where it would say like hit reset the page, refresh the page every whatever you wanted. You could type in 5 seconds, you could type in 5 minutes, and people were running up the numbers on all their YouTube videos like that. And then YouTube eventually combated it. Rumble, the people of Rumble are probably right now trying to figure out how to combat that, you know. So it's a process, but I think these platforms are way ahead in time comparison to their predecessors, to their globalist predecessors. Those were long processes. And these are already like True Social and Rumble and even things were pilled. They're already way ahead if you just consider that they're only a year or two, three tops old than these other ones were at this time. So it's pretty freaking cool.
Oh, yeah. No, I got to say, I give major props to new platforms like, you know, Gab, Getter, Pilled, Truth Social, Rumble, you know, all of these platforms. I mean, because I was on YouTube when it started. OK, like I was there in 2006. I got an account in 2008 because I was like, maybe I want to try something with this. And it just took me a long time to actually do it. But I saw that evolution. I saw how it was really rough in the beginning. And, you know, it almost looked like MySpace when it started out. Like if you go back and never look at any original screenshots from like YouTube Prime, like when it first started, it is such a different user experience. And so for these other brand new platforms to be as far along as they are, I mean, it's truly a testament. Obviously, technology begins to like, you know, really speed up at a certain point. And we have a certain look that I think people are used to when they're looking at applications on a mobile device versus on a website. But, you know, it's true. They do expect things to work better than they initially do. I was actually on Truth Social the other day and I saw people were posting about how they had just, they were leaving Truth Social because they felt that their concerns weren't being addressed fast enough. That like, you know, certain bugs, bugs they had identified with the user interface or something like that. And they felt that the developers, which I think there's only a handful of them, guys, like if you're on Truth Social and you think it's not good enough yet, just remember, I mean, the amount of staff that they're working with in comparison to a company like Google, like YouTube, like X, I mean, it is a fraction of that same amount and also a fraction of the dollars that are going into it. There is no InQtel money going into Rumble or going into Truth Social. I mean, these are shoestring operations when you compare them to something massive like YouTube or X.
Oh, yeah, dude. It's funny. I guess now that I've just bit the bullet and used my real name, I can show you that my YouTube has, I only discovered this like a year ago. It has some saves from like 2010. I remember like going back and like, whoa, that would be cool to look at. But just to show everyone how different YouTube used to look, this is what YouTube used to freaking look like. Like, it's just like totally different. This is like your home landing page. Guys, wow. I had 236 subscribers. I was top of the world. Anyway,
I remember when I broke. I remember when I broke 100. Like before, I was doing like anything. Like I was like, "Wow, why would 100 people subscribe to this little channel with like it was like videos of me and my daughter like at the Chicago Aquarium or something like that."
I remember, when I first started following you, I used to always click. I used to do this all the time from like the beginning days of YouTube. Even back here when I was trying to make funny videos with my friends, I would always like people in the comments, I'd go to the thing and I'd hit old to new And you just get to see like people on vacation, just random stuff. And I thought that was the coolest part about YouTube is that it was real people. It was just regular people. And I remember with yours, yeah, that you had like stuff with like your daughter's recital and stuff like that on there. And but I also remember you had like an MK Ultra documentary. And I remember thinking to myself like, damn, dude, Red Pill's been awake for a long time, because they were like uploaded years ago, years prior to any of this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, this was always, I mean, especially like CIA and corruption regarding aspects of the federal government, MK Ultra, any of those released and previously classified programs were always something that were of great interest to me. And, you know, I was looking into that stuff for years prior to even beginning this. And to answer your question, PJ Corrigan, I announced on my socials several times over the last couple of days, my Telegram, my Twitter, well, my ex, formerly Twitter, and my Truth Social. If you're not following me, you should, at RedPill78. There was a fiber line that was cut. It was the main fiber line that provides internet to me and to, I guess, only my block in the neighborhood. Like, everybody else has internet. It's just like my little section right here. So for 2 days, I've had no internet. I've been unable to go live. For those of you wondering, no, I cannot use the hotspot on my phone. I also happen to live in pretty much the middle of nowhere, which means that without the internet, I can hardly use my phone. Right now, I've got 2 bars on my phone, and I'm lucky to have that. So I couldn't even do this on my iPad. Like, I tried to do it on my iPad, and the signal was worse. I don't know how that works.
Ash says it sounds like terrorists are targeting you. You know, I can't so much disagree, Ash.
I can't rule it out, Ash.
Very much. I think PJ seems awful curious. Where were you on the night of April 21st? I love how I look over, like, I have no concept of what effing month we're in. That's really good sign.
Yeah, wait a second, PJ Corrigan. You weren't in Northeast Florida on Monday afternoon, were you?
Oh, dude, speaking of which, I caught the premiere that you guys did, a premiere down there of Time of Deceit. And I had already seen Time of Deceit, but I caught like your after show. I thought it was really good. I thought it wound up looked like it was a really nice event.
Well, thank you very much. I thought it was awesome. You know, it was a bit of a grind, obviously, after having traveled and done the event in Dallas for the previous 4 days. But I thought it was really important. You know, like, I thought that the experience of watching it for the first time in person at GART with the audience, I mean, that was just incredible. And I can't shut up about how talented Adam Riva is. Okay. Yeah. And Ryan DeLarm wrote the original script, and then so maybe we should say story by Ryan DeLarm, script or film by Adam Riva, but I don't know how they want to be credited. All I know is that the ultimate final product is a product of Adam Riva's Dauntless Dialogue. If you don't know him, please check him out. He's so talented. And he just made this documentary for us called Time of Deceit. We premiered it in Dallas, and then we did a special live in-person showing at a small little club in Rotunda, West Florida. It's about 4 hours from here. So I got home super late Sunday night. I woke up super early on Monday. I immediately drove to the other side of the state. It's south of Tampa. And then I set up my gear and we got going. We played the film. And then afterwards we had a panel speaking about the film itself. And, you know, we were lucky to have Adam there. It was just it was an incredible time. And it's always so much fun to get to meet people in person. You know, I mean, like, we've talked about this on so many occasions, and I sincerely hope that every single person here watching has the opportunity at some point to come to an in-person event. It may not be a GART, it, you know, may not be a documentary premiere, but I really hope that we get the chance to meet every single one of you guys, because I truly do feel like this is a community that we've built here. I did it on my channel, you did it on your channel, we've now done it collectively here on Badlands, and I just think that you can't overstate how important that is in a world gone mad. Okay. In a world where every single day everybody's waking up and saying, "What the hell is going on?" You can look next to you and you can say, "It doesn't matter if I don't have all the answers, because I've got friends. I've got real friends."
Yeah, and you can do it locally too, man. It's so much fun. Our mutual friend Rook Castle years ago set up a New Jersey meetup. And, you know, maybe it was only like 10, 15 of us, but it was so cool just to get to hang out. And that was my very first experience of, I was even a little nervous, like, can I trust these people? You know, I don't know. I was a little more paranoid back then. And now I realize no one gives a shit what I was doing. But we got together. We all had a great time. And then we did a few after that. There are a few, the Patriot who's in there, she set up a few as well. She's usually here in the chat somewhere. And yeah, there we go. Yeah, love the Rook Castle, New Jersey meetups. Yes, they were so much fun. And all of those meetups were a lot of fun. And it's just cool getting to hang out in person with fellow Patriots and realize, oh, I'm not crazy. Okay, there are, I'm normal and there are other normal people here. Because sometimes in the world has gone so bananas. Even just what's accepted norms right now of society are so wildly different than back in the day that it just makes you feel crazy. A quick example of that. I love this, by the way. I don't know why there's piano playing, but I love it.
I can't hear it.
Oh, you can't? Oh, something must have just started playing on one of my... Oh,
okay.
Sorry, okay. I thought you started smiling right as it started playing on my computer, and I thought you were doing something. I was like, oh, cool.
I was reading a Rumble rant. We'll go. Make sure you're saving them, because I can't.
Yes, I am saving them. Okay, I didn't read the second one yet, though. But I was going to say that. You ever hear Ray Charles? I got a woman way downtown. She's good to me.
Yes.
So I was just jamming that before, and one of the first comments says, back in the day, this is where, like, parents would be like, oh my God, this is so profane. Keep this away from children. And I'm just thinking like, oh, they could only time warp to 2024.
Yeah, now there's songs that are like talking about wet and gushy and, you know, just like everything that you could possibly, there's no imagination to any of this stuff anymore.
Yeah, it's a very low vibrational garbage. And it's funny because, you know, like, as a dude, it's not that, you know, I'm some sort of prude weirdo, you know, who's like, this is so bad. But there's a time and a place for something. Like, the stuff that used to be, like, you hanging out with your buddies, you know, being knuckleheads, is now just regular, like, network TV stuff. There's no barrier anymore. And, or, you know, the stuff that used to be, like, intimate with you and your wife in the bedroom. Again, same thing is, like, literally on, like, network sitcoms is, like, funny jokes. And it's just the whole world is very much in a demoralized state right now, as Yuri Bezmenov would say.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I just want to address Diana, because she said, Zach, it was such a pleasure to meet you. And Brad, I was so sad to miss you. You two are my oldest creators on Badlands. P.S. Zach, you need to get some sun. You're fading back into a white male. This is hilarious, because I actually laid out in the sun first thing this morning for like over an hour. And when I came inside, I was wearing my Birkenstocks. I literally have stripes on my feet. Like, it looks like where my feet were in the sun, they're totally dirty or something, but they're not. But it's it must be the camera on the iPhone. But believe me, Diana, I am black as the midnight sun still.
I feel like I was gonna make a white power joke about how pale I've gotten here, but, like, honestly, with the way people clip things deceptively, I don't even want to, like, joke like that anymore. I'm not a white supremacist.
Not worth it.
I promise.
Not worth it. No.
I am half Sicilian, so I think that might disqualify me anyway. But
You know, I'm immediately reminded of that scene from True Romance.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you know, you know. All right, Brad, before we get too deep, we gotta give a shout out to the sponsors here before we get into everything.
Yes, indeed. And the first one is from our good buddies, Tackrite. you guys have come to know and love, and I'm sure every one of you wants to own a night vision binoculars, so this is an easy sell on their part. But they're obviously typically a lot of money. These are under $200, and they're right from Tacrite. Can't beat it. Similar ones are typically upwards of $4,000, and that's military grade, of course. But this is a revolutionary new night system. Military night vision requires at least some light to work. Tacrite night vision lets you see even in pitch darkness. You guys will get an amazing one-time discount. You can grab one today for $200. No coupon code, no nothing. Literally, just click the link in the description, TacriteBadlands.com. It'll make a great gift for anyone, especially people who are like the outdoors, hunting, military, anything like that. Or if you just want to feel safe at night. If you hear something, want to look out your window with them. I know I've done that before. So grab yours tonight. This won't last long. They've sold out previously in 3 hours after mentioning it. So visit TacriteBadlands.com to check it out. And then we also have another one of our good friends here at Badlands, No Bugs Beef. And if you haven't ordered them, you should. It's delicious. You will have enough protein to feed your family for several months in a survival situation, or if you just want to get it. Veteran-owned No Bugs Beef offers freeze-dried beef cubes and freezer boxes with steaks and roasts, all made from high-quality, all-American cattle and designed to last up to 20 years. They're a perfect choice for long-term food storage. Whether you're stocking up on your doomsday bunker or looking for a convenient and delicious meat option, they have you covered. Enjoy delicious, high-quality beef anytime, anywhere, knowing that you're prepared for whatever the future holds. And start enjoying peace of mind with your delicious meals. Get your family prepared for the chaos at badlandsmedia.tv/nobugs. And don't forget to use promo code Badlands for an even bigger discount, 15% off. So it's badlandsmedia.tv/nobugs, promo code Badlands. And I could say that as much as I wanted to save these, I whatchamacallit, let me take this out. We opened up a bag and tested it, and they're really good. And basically what you do is you put the meat in there. You just have to add a water. You let it sit in the water. There are instructions on the bag. And it rehydrates them, and you cook them, and they're like delicious little steak chunks. It's awesome.
So I'm actually saving my bags for when they shut down the electrical grid and everything just the day before the election. That's a joke. But I also have a solar stove, which allows me to cook things outside using the light of the sun. So I'll probably make some tasty stew with our friends there from No Bugs Beef come the shutdown of everything.
Yeah, that sounds pretty sweet, man. Yeah, it literally comes out like delicious steak. So it's a freaking, imagine like prepping and that there's an option where you could have literal steak saved for 20 years. I think that's pretty sweet.
Yeah. So Craneop wants to know any ETA on the cyber optics, Vic. The fiber optics, but he says cyber optics. So it was supposed to be done Monday at 1. Then it was supposed to be done Monday by 2. Then it was supposed to be done Monday by 4. Then it was supposed to be done Monday by 8. Then it was supposed to be done Tuesday. Monday it was Tuesday that everything happened. So all of those times to Tuesday. And then today they did the same thing. They told me 10 a.m. They told me 1 p.m. They told me 2 p.m. They told me 4 p.m. And then I walked down the street and I like went up to him and I was like, hey, you know, I'm not trying to, you know, cramp your style here, but I am needing to get back to work. Is this actually going to be fixed today? And he was like, oh yeah, it's not a problem. Just a couple hours. So that was at like 3:30. So then from then until basically the time that I joined Brad on my phone, I was out there every hour on the hour testing the thing. So now that it's dark, I know it's not getting fixed tonight. So I don't know. It could be any time tomorrow. I'm just hoping it's before 5.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, at the very least, they probably have it in their plans sometime this week. But I don't know. Is that like Fios or whatever fiber optics company is doing it? Might be the ones who have to fix it. That might be
they actually had two AT&T trucks down there, and okay. I saw them. They were laying new fiber. He said, you know, it was broken in multiple places. So he said, we fixed the first one, and then we figured out that it was broken much worse, much further down. So then they had to lay, like, you know, a longer piece of cable. But generally, like, if somebody, you know, cuts a line, then they've got it fixed within hours. Like, I've never seen it take this long. So I don't know what the deal is.
Well, there's different codes in different areas, like you were saying before. Definitely in New York, New Jersey, yeah. Dude, that better be fixed right away. You're going to get your head on a platter.
Teamsters come visit you.
Yeah. Some garlic on their breath. One thing is, I will say, in defense of the builders, I can't tell you how many times I've been on, like, a job where they're breaking ground, and a lot of times the surveyors, mm-hmm. it's their job to, like, you know, spray paint where the water lines are and where different things on the ground are. And a lot of times there's not really good documentation of that, and it's sort of a guess, and they'll give you a roundabout area. So assuming they had a surveyor doing that even in the first place, there might not have been great documentation of those lines anyway. I bet you either that happened or they didn't even look.
So they've got these green boxes in everybody's yard, and they basically, like, it's pretty universal. Like, you've got, like, you know, like a service box, and then the cable will run in the culvert, okay? Like, where all the water will pool up and drain off when it rains. And then it runs up on the right-hand side of the property, along the property line. And then if you can see the box on the side of the house, you just do 90 degrees from there. And then, you know, you could probably dig within 2 or 3 feet, and you know you're not going to hit anything. But they also mark it, like, with spray paint and stuff. And there's flags. These guys, there was no surveyor. There was definitely no surveyor.
Yeah, definitely. I'm calling 15D right now. Florida Division.
Oh my God, that's great.
Zach, we have a segment here that I think some of the people might appreciate.
Clown World.
None of those are surveyors, I can assure you. But some of them might be in this video. This is a video from Columbia. This is the protests, and it's titled "Columbia Students Try to Give Severalians Keep on Giving." I haven't showed you just yet because I want your reaction.
Okay.
But this is what's going on, guys. This is going to free Palestine. The war pretty much almost ended after they were done. They just didn't do it long enough. What the heck are they doing?
Is this like interpretive dance with red yarn or something?
I guess. I don't know.
Oh my God. They're like paying cats in the cradle with like 100 people.
All I know is I hope someone has scissors for when they're done. Are they going to be very upset?
Yeah.
So that is what's going on. This is the edgy protests that are going on everywhere. I saw one video from down by, I thought it was Union Square, but it was a little lower than that. It was by NYU, and they all had matching green tents. Like, tell me it's an inorganic protest without telling me it's an inorganic protest with like 30 of the same exact pop-up tent standing in a row.
You know what's incredibly ironic, Brad?
Yeah.
And, you know, half of me thinks that this is all part of a plan. Congress, Mike Johnson, calling for the National Guard to be posted up at college campuses all around the country to shut these protests down. Now, you know, obviously it's a little offensive considering the fact that they won't even send most National Guards to our southern border, on top of the fact that they just gave another $95 billion to Ukraine and Israel and, you know, the Gulf of Aden, you know, any places you can think of.
Yeah.
But what did occur to me is if the National Guard gets permanently deployed to every single college campus around the country, and that means the National Guard is on the street to stop any sort of unrest that might result from, say, perhaps an election upset, which might occur come November. Depending on how long these protests last, depending on how long the Free Palestine movement continues, and as long as there are Jews and Palestinians living within proximity to each other, I don't think that it's going to stop. That may be a good thing. You know, I mean, and you think about what's happening in New York as well, with the National Guard being deployed to the subways. From what I can tell, it hasn't significantly reduced crime. I mean, you still, if the National Guard isn't present at that moment, people are still telling cops to F off and jumping the turnstiles. Right. But yeah, and you still have people getting shot and pushed onto the tracks and all that stuff. But I thought it was fairly interesting to think that the government is just going all in on these two things that we as citizens have been asking for ourselves for some time. Obviously, if you're a normie and you're now affected by the events at the southern border, which basically everyone is, and you're wondering to yourself, well, why is it that they can't do something about it? Well, the answer is they can, okay? Yep. And now you can see that they can, especially if they throw National Guard troops onto college campuses to quell these protests.
Yeah, I wonder if maybe they have word of something happening, like you're saying, to get them in position for possibly something bigger that was supposed to come out of it. Now, people wanted Trump to do it during the George Floyd riots. I kind of understand why he held off in a weird way. I think people needed to see what they're capable of, but maybe this is the precursor. These protests, right? We're going to have another year of protests right leading up to election. How about that? And maybe this is the precursor, and this is their way of getting ahead of it. I like Josh Hawley a lot. I don't know. Is Tom Cotton good?
Tom Cotton's all right. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. He's not terrible either way.
Yeah. It says that there were two of the main ones calling for it on President Biden on Monday to deploy the National
Johnson
Guard.
You've got both houses of Congress, calling for it. Like, I mean, what a slap in the face. And here's the thing. It could go either way. You know, I mean, it could be an effort to quell and another extended summer of protests, like you're saying. If those people are in place and Trump wins, as we believe he's going to be, then, you know, they can hate Biden all they want, but they don't care about the president. They're looking to undermine and destroy America. All right. So whether it's Biden, who they hate right now and they're protesting against, or Trump, who they ultimately still hate and would protest against, they're going to be out there on the streets and ready to engage in whatever it is they're directed to engage in. So, you know, it's I'm very on the fence about this as to whether or not it's a good thing. Personally, I would like to see Congress demanding that something be done about the southern border. But as we've said, it's quite clear that they're not doing it because they're benefiting from it. Both sides, both the Democrats and the Republicans, the Uniparty is having a grand old time allowing the fabric of our nation to be undermined. And they're too busy sending money to Ukraine, telling us that the Ukrainian border is the American border. Well, no, sir. I'll tell you what, it's definitely not. You know, on Twitter the other day, after they had passed that bill, I was like, shared that video of them waving the Ukrainian flags. And I was like, we might as well just make 51st state Ukraine. Just throw another star on the flag, make them all yellow and blue instead of white, and we'll call it a day. Because right now we're literally keeping businesses afloat in Ukraine. We're paying the pensions of their government employees. We are running their secret police. I mean, that basically is a vassal state of the United States of America. And some dipshit in the UK says, no, you're not. Okay, well, obviously, you have no idea what you're talking about, son. So stick to what you do good. Kick a football and drink a pint and worry about the danger at your own doorstep, because that's what I'm paying attention to. We got a lot of problems here, and our government is showing the American people how little they care about us and our security.
Yeah, dude. Boy, is that not the freaking spot on analysis of what's going on. And with Ukraine, obviously, the Obama administration pretty much made them the 51st state after all the shenanigans that went on there in 2014, along with Soros and that color revolution. And they pretty much installed what would be a controllable government. And I think it's because they were washing and making a lot of money there, making a lot of money in Ukraine. There's obviously, if you could see, even just from the fall of the USSR, there has been a global push to glom onto any sort of resources they could from any of them, from Kazakhstan, Ukraine, all these big states that aren't Russia. They wish they can get into Russia. That's probably a lot of why they are searching for an excuse to take them down. But I think they've have a lot of connections to Ukraine. There was also another weird thing where, remember Marina Abramovic, when this was first kicking off, she did this big healing crystal ceremony with Zelensky. And obviously that's, if Marina Abramovic is a red flag to me, no matter where she goes. So there is something going on there. Definitely it's like a deep state proxy, it feels, but a deep 100%. State proxy state. And they're desperately sending as much of our tax dollars as humanly possible over there. And I just think it's disgusting. I don't blame people. I know, like last week, you know, I was kind of like, I don't know with Johnson and I don't know how to feel, because I wanted to like him. Listen, I wanted to like the guy. But man, dude, the more I think about it, it's like, it's kind of crappy that these people, they would just keep sending stuff over there. Ukraine is the most glaring, obvious deep state freaking whatever you want to call it there is. So are they getting, are the kickbacks too much to ignore? I mean, if you're sending, what was it, $95 billion? Is that what it was?
Well, $95 billion in the last round. I mean, we're talking hundreds of billions cumulatively. Yeah.
But each round, I'm sure, has their big payouts, like $95 billion, depending on how much of that winds up being kind of like liquid assets. Say $1 billion of it becomes a liquid asset. You could tell him straight up, yo, give you $10 million cash. It's nothing. Oh, $10 million cash is nothing in a sea of $95 billion freaking dollars. Even if only $1 billion of that they're able to disappear, which I'm sure it's a lot more, it's still $10 million is nothing. So could it have been a payoff of that nature? Could a lot of these people be getting paid off for that? Who knows? But it's very, I don't know. It's a red flag. I don't know how to say it. Yeah.
No, you're right. It is. It's a huge red flag. And I think it's quite clear that Mike Johnson is compromised. Okay, so let's take a look at this. You know, who is the deep state in the United States of America? I mean, it's the CIA, as far as I'm concerned. Absolutely. Everything, like all arms of the octopus, go back to the CIA. Okay, whether they are still currently employed, or they are now a private contractor, or they're just retired, but they're still doing the bidding. I mean, once agency, always agency. You're never going to leave. You're always going to have your first source of love and devotion being the Central Intelligence Agency. Who is running Ukraine? The Central Intelligence Agency. Okay. And every single piece of this is designed to put Ukraine into the wheelhouse of the United States, maintain that control, that locus of control all over that area of the Eastern Europe, and then, of course, the rest of Europe as well. But keep it as far away from being an actual United State, because if it was, well, then there'd be accountability. Then, you know, we might have actual information about how that money's being spent. This way, it's just a giant sucking sound in Eastern Europe. And the United States is funneling all of this money through the CIA, through their NGOs, through all of their proxies and all of these various organizations and the people they control in the United States Congress. There is simply no other way to look at it, as far as I'm concerned.
Without a doubt. And it also is forcing TikTok to be sold. So that's another thing which I'm a little skeptical of.
Oh.
That they shoehorned that in.
They shoehorned that in, okay, because, of course, now it has to be sold. Now, here's the thing. So China, ByteDance, I mean, they're the ones who own TikTok. TikTok is definitely sending personal information to ByteDance, to the CCP. All right. But nobody cared about it until we're getting this close to an election. And TikTok is, you know, a great place to go for quick bites on conspiracy and corruption. Okay. People are constantly putting out really eye-catching videos on there and a lot of stuff that's damaging to Biden. So I don't think that if we were in a different situation, they ever would have considered banning TikTok. So now TikTok, it's not even going to go anywhere for a year if it is banned. Like, this is ceremonial here, what they've done, because, you know, depending on who becomes president again, you know, that only after that point is action going to have to be taken. And TikTok could just as easily be spun off into a U.S. owned company, and China could still have a spy looking over everything, reporting everything back to the CCP. There are so many different ways they could do it so that they could still get all of the same information. It just wouldn't be as easy. So it's a song and a dance. There's nothing to this. And I truly believe that the only reason they're trying to get rid of it is to make it look like Biden is tough on China. And obviously there's stuff on there that hurts him.
Yes, without a doubt. And I think it's the deep state factions, right? Like, I'm fully convinced our deep state is very much tied in with China and the CCP, right? But that doesn't mean they always love each other. It doesn't mean they share all the information with each other. I 100% believe they probably don't trust each other worth a shit, because they're all criminals and there's no honor amongst thieves. And I was looking at it like this. They're taking all our information, right? Our own CIA and NSA and whoever else has been taking our information from Facebook and Instagram and all these platforms for the longest time. There's no doubt. I mean, obviously, Facebook was LifeLog before it was, and they just literally turned it into a more enjoyable thing. And then people willingly did the things that they wanted to do with LifeLog. They wanted to track everyone. But maybe it just bothers them that they can't do that with TikTok right now, and they just want TikTok too. I think that's a possibility, because obviously it's like, they're like, oh, they're tracking you. Every one of these things is tracking us, right? Why is TikTok the one that's being singled out? So
I think you're right. I think it's because the CIA doesn't directly control TikTok.
Right. They just have FOMO right now. TikTok FOMO.
So funny, so
that went through. That's another dumpster fire right there. Freaking 95 billion, dude. And meanwhile, like, at the end of the year, oh no, don't miss $20 on your taxes, or else, you know, you're gonna be in trouble.
It's a big joke.
I do have this here. This seems pretty cool. It was Gen Z voters talking about Biden. I think this is kind of hopeful moving forward. Obviously, one of the main beats we're all hoping for to push this whole thing along is to get Trump reelected and to get some sanity back in Washington. So
highly relevant.
Check this out.
Trump deals with all those legal battles. The former president also seeing a surge in Gen Z support. New Harvard polling shows that the former president is up 9 points among voters between the ages of 18 and 29 since the year 2020. Biden down 6 points in the same poll. Emily Sturge is a campus reform correspondent, University of Florida student, and Gen Z voter herself, and she joins me now. Emily, good morning to you. Why is Donald Trump becoming more popular among young people?
Good morning. I'm so excited to see this type of independent thinking among my generation happening on social media, because frankly, this is no longer happening in our classrooms or on our college campuses. So Gen Z has taken to social media to voice their opinions. Let's not forget how Donald Trump completely revolutionized the way social media like Twitter was used to directly connect with the American audience. And now Gen Z is carrying on this trend. Gen Z valued Donald Trump's authenticity and his openness with his tweets, whether he was talking about North Korea or Diet Coke or whatever else was on his mind at 3 o'clock in the morning. Gen Z valued that openness and realize that Donald Trump is the type of leader we want in the White House, because more members of my generation are waking up and realizing that our lives were actually better under Donald Trump than they are under Joe Biden.
Well, President Biden has so far canceled about $150 billion in student loan debt. Critics say that that's a sort of a way to buy votes. Supporters say, no, he's just listening to the concerns of young people. Whatever it is, do you think it's going to work when it comes to getting more support from young people now that he's really significantly losing ground in that group of voters?
I think Gen Z is smarter than that. They're not falling for the last minute plea deals and promises from the Biden administration. Gen Z is absolutely fed up with the disastrous economic policies under the Biden administration. At Campus Reform, we've reported skyrocketing tuition rates, increases in rent prices, increases in grocery prices, and that's specifically impacting Generation Z. We can barely make our apartment rent. How could we possibly fathom putting a down payment on a car or on a home or raising a child within the next 10 years? That idea of the American dream seems like such a foreign concept to so many members of my generation. So we're realizing that we benefited much more under Donald Trump. Our wallets benefited under Donald Trump. And I think that's the reason why my generation is going to show up to the polls and voice their support for Donald Trump.
Do you think, Emily, that Gen Z is the new swing voter?
Absolutely. I think Gen Z has specifically been hit very hard by the Biden administration's policies. Like I said, many of us can't even fathom owning a home or raising a child within the next 10 years. And that idea of the American dream is so far out of reach. So we want to see a president who is going to bring real leadership back into the White House. I think Gen Z realizes that the 2024 election is all about security, security of our wallets, security of our border, and security of our homes. We realize that Donald Trump dominates in every single one of those categories, and Biden is not the man to have in office if we want it, if we want safety on all of those fronts.
Emily Sturge, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, I thought those were great points.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, here's the thing, though. I mean, it's not just Gen Z, and that is this. Right. That's the most important part. It's all of society, and it's also Gen Z included in that larger group. Unfortunately, young people tend to be more focused on themselves than they do on the larger issues of society. So they're perceiving it as this unique hit upon them, upon their ability to achieve the American dream. But it's almost universal across every segment of American society. And, you know, let's be honest, across the entire globe, you know, the people of planet Earth have been used and abused by the leaders of our nations, by the people whose sole job it is to provide safety, security, and give us a path to prosperity through the decisions they make, which allow our countries to thrive. Instead, they have chosen to allow themselves to thrive, and they have done it for so long, over and over and over again, that the mask is completely off, and it's obvious to all of us. And when young people are looking at this and saying, you know what, I have no future because of Joe Biden, because of the leadership of our country, and the only person who gave me a glimpse of what my future might look like is Donald Trump, well, then they're screwed.
Yeah, and that's why they're gonna, that's why they're probably getting behind him. They're, these are people, right? So even if, say, you pay off their student loans, it's just hard to live. It's hard to go out on your own nowadays, hard to buy a house, all the things she was saying. And as the Gen Z is starting to go out into the world and become their own people, boy, they're seeing just how hard it is. And then there are people saying, well, this was even easier. It was never easy, but it was at least a little easier 3 or 4 years ago. Grocery prices are up insane. Dude, it's $15 here for a case of water. So for, I think, a ketchup is $11. Now, also, we live in a place where things have to be barged in a little bit more. So it's already a little higher, but it's just like the prices are absolutely insane. They're still pretty insane, I think, even just in the regular places where it's easy to get to them. And you make a good point. It hits everyone. So when she's talking about, like, is Gen Z the new swing voters? Is that the new swing? They're all swing, because all these all these demographics that were way more pro left wing, pro progressive policies, the same that President Biden has put forth, they're all starting to defect a little. So even if one specific one, I don't think there's going to be a singular swing. So you don't need a singular swing anymore because they're all starting to push up the scale. And it's all a net positive, man. I mean, not too many people who are voting Trump or along those lines really went away from it. You know, there were some who broke away during, you know, when the primaries, and were like, I like DeSantis or I like Haley. But even the staunchest of them, some of them were kind of nasty, I must say, to Trump supporters, have come out with, hey, man, we still got to win. Oh, you know, I'm for Trump. That's the candidate. We got to support them. We're just like, all right, I'm going to pretend like I didn't watch the last year of your Twitter. But, yeah, I appreciate that. And so there's not much change on our side, but there is a lot of change on their side. And I think Gen Z is a good litmus test because, like I was saying, they're going into the world. But also another thing with people of that age, obviously we've all been that age, you're way less focused on politics. You're way more focused on, hey, what does the group say on Facebook I should do? Okay, yeah, that's what, yeah, I support that, okay. And you're more into the following the stars and stuff of that nature. And these are the things that have aided the left and the deep state for so long. And so if those people who are the most prone to that sort of programming are defecting, that's a beautiful thing, man.
So think about this. You know, I mean, we're older, okay? So we have witnessed the stoic degradation of America. Yes, I mean, yes, okay, so stoic, yes. We are distinguished and wise. And there are people who are even more distinguished and more wise than us. We have witnessed the degradation and the destruction of America. We've seen it. For many people, it's the frog in a boiling pot of water a metaphor. You know, they didn't notice because things weren't as bad as they could have been. But we've been tracking this. We've been watching it, okay? Now, for Gen Z, you know, they were younger. Their parents took care of them. They didn't have to worry about things. Your parents don't come home and say, you know, honey, we got to cut back on computer usage this month because our electrical bills are so high. Maybe they do, but generally speaking, parents keep those things from their kids. They suffer in silence because you don't want your kids to feel insecure. So the kids did not have to worry about it. So they go into high school. Okay. They're still taken care of by their parents. They get out of high school. Their parents pay for them to go to college or they make it out on their own. Donald Trump comes into office after 8 years of Obama and 8 years of that boiling frog analogy, and all of a sudden there is a marked uptick in positive indicators across the board, across the entire country, just as these people are starting to make their own way in the world, just as they're getting out of college, they invest in crypto, maybe they start playing the stock market. Everybody was doing great, okay? And then as soon as Biden comes into office, there is a precipitous downturn across all those exact same indicators. So for Gen Z, not having known anything but the comfort of their family and their homes, and then the incredible uptick under Donald Trump, to see that downturn under Joe Biden, they know why that's happening. And they may not understand the decades of destruction and the decades of everything that was taken away from us. But now they see it. Okay, now they're on the same page as all of us who have been paying attention, who have watched our lives yo-yo over and over and over again. You know, and so now we're all on the same page. And you're right, we are all swing voters now.
Yes, all swing voters, right. And you know what? You can't be shielded from it anymore. It's hard to shield anyone from anything that's going on, and it's awesome. Honestly, if Trump would have just got in 2020, we predicted this in the beginning, but we were kind of like more hoping it would be true than not, that would be a good explanation because it really hurt. But we were saying, I guess, you know, be walk through the darkness. But now that we're here on the other end, boy, it really needed to happen. It just did. There needed to be that total juxtaposed right next to each other. Everyone had kind of, I don't want to say forgot, but basically the things that Obama did and got away with, they kind of just fell away with all the hysteria with Donald Trump. So it was nice to see it come back into full square now with a full community to shine a light on it and call it out right on the heels of one of the best economies of all time. Saw a president, I think a big thing too is, and she kind of mentioned this in what she was saying as well, is a president who communicated. Biden, yeah, he does a press conference here or there. He talks every now and then, and it's all fumbly. He's clearly reading. There's no realness to it. You could tell he wants it to be over as soon as possible. He's just trying to get it done. He tries to make a joke, and it never works. Trump came out every single day, whether it was in front of Marine One or what on the lawn somewhere, or if it was a press conference, every single day he talked to the press. Yeah, we're working on this. We're trying to do this. Today we're signing a legislation against human trafficking. Today we're doing this, blah, blah, blah. The whole country was pretty much privy to the inside workings of Washington. And that was never the case before. He would tweet what was going on. He would talk about what was going on. And you kind of got to see a little bit of how the bread is baked from the inside. And I think that that resonated with me. And I, now that I see the opposite way around, where Biden doesn't really ever talk about what they're working on, unless it's some overbearing globalist agenda that they're trying to push, like climate change or the typical couple beats that they go, except the, unless it's a couple of those, he never really talks about any of the little things that are getting passed or the stuff that's going on. That's something I think has been noticed.
He talks about Trump. He talks about, you know, how America will be destroyed if Donald Trump comes back. And people see it for what it is. I mean, they, oh, sorry, Joe, taking care of that. So we know that PSYOP is not going to work. And half the time he ends up losing his temper and like screaming at the press corps. I mean, they do a tremendous job of keeping him insulated so that they can stay away from those things. And then when Karine Jean-Pierre has to go in front of the press corps, which is every single day, you know, she looks like a fool because the things says, they just do not jive. Yeah, they don't jive with reality and everybody knows it.
She must be getting a good paycheck, man, because, you know, I don't care how left-wing you are. You know there's got to be days where you read what you have to do on that side, and you're just like, okay, fucking pour a shot of brandy or something, and just like, here we go, you know, no, blah, 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 blah. One thing I like he said, he just Biden randomly yells. You ever like editing video? And then you could see the thing. And every now and then there's this loud part. Maybe you try and bring that down. But for the most part, somewhat, it's even enough. He, the people who are editing anything he does must just hate him. I know I do if I'm ever editing clips of him. Because he'll literally be like talking normal voice. And they'll be like, and then the MAGA Republicans, they're going to go and turn it to Nazis and kill everybody. But you know, it's not going to work. And you're just like, this dude has no standard volume level of any video editors out there. Know what I'm talking about? It's so awful.
Yeah, so for me, there's an audio filter called a compressor, and you can drop it onto your audio track in my editing software, and it like brings those highs down and brings the lows up, so it kind of normalizes it. Yeah, but
I should
but
look
even
for that in Sony Vegas. I'm sure they have something similar. That's cool.
Yeah, it would help out a lot. I'll tell you what, it's definitely made my life easier. But even still, when he whispers on the microphone like that, immediately after. Oh, yeah. Talk about skeeves. Jeez, oh, Pete, it's disgusting.
I don't know why. It just makes my skin crawl. It's like, I don't know. I can't explain it. He's just saying, I hate it when he does it, and it's so bad. Joe Biden. Oh, my God.
Ridiculous.
So, yeah, he's pretty freaking ridiculous. What they're doing to Trump is ridiculous. It's total voter. Fraud? No, not fraud. Election fraud. Yeah, and election interference. Election.
Yeah.
I wanted to read this. So I don't, the gag order, I don't think he's following it too well. But since the gag order imposed on me, a political candidate running for the highest office in the land is totally unconstitutional. I agree. Nothing like this has ever happened before. The conflicted judges, friends, and party members can say whatever they want about me, but I'm not allowed to respond. The trial's rigged and should have never been allowed to take place on a charge that virtually every legal scholar and experts say is bogus. There's no crime. It's a political witch hunt, election interference. It is, though. Do you think this is resonating with people?
His persecution? Oh, yes, yeah. 100%. Yeah, I feel like this is backfiring spectacularly on these people. I think that it, like, just universally across the board, people are looking at what they've done to him. And I mean, you look at people like that guy from ESPN. I don't watch ESPN, so I don't remember his name, but he's this black guy who just is
Stephen
A. Smith.
Yeah.
Even Stephen A. Smith. You got so many people who are just like, okay, let's be honest here. Like, look at what they're doing to this guy. It's not right. You know, it's obvious they know they can't win, so they're just trying to put him in prison. And I keep saying, you know, go for it. Okay. Donald Trump. If you put Donald Trump behind bars, Donald Trump will turn that into a frigging campaign ad. It will go out on Twitter, Truth Social, YouTube, Instagram, and the patriots all around the world are going to share it with some bitter hashtag directed at Joe Biden, and everyone is going to see it, and everyone is going to internalize the struggle of Donald Trump against that failed and corrupt establishment that we know exists, that we know needs to go, and that Donald Trump called out so beautifully in that speech all those years ago.
It's such a beautiful thing, man. D-Patriot said to Stephen A., he recanted everything, clown. Well, Stephen A., well, ESPN, I got to tell you, I used to watch a lot of ESPN before the Great Awakening. They are left-wing trash. They are owned by ABC, which is owned by Disney, obviously. So they are certainly, there certainly is a purposeful leaning. I'm sure someone talked to Stephen A. and was like, yo, dude, you recant this right now, you're fired. But nevertheless, for someone who's watched a lot of ESPN in my life, if you could get freaking Stephen A. Smith to even temporarily break character and say that something is wrong, you win. That is, if there was ever an indicator that things are going in the right direction, it's freaking that. And here's a question that maybe you have the answer to. If he goes to jail, does Secret Service, like, have to station, like, by the jail? I sure hope so, right?
Yes. So this is why they're trying to pass that bill that would remove Secret Service protection from any president or former president who's been convicted of a felony.
That's nasty.
Yeah. So they clearly want to put him in Gen Pop. They realize that if they do put him in jail, whether it's for a day or, you know, a week or something like that, they would have to clear out the entire wing of that jail. Secret Service would be posted with him 24 hours a day. He would never be alone. He would always be under their protection. And this is why they got to try and get rid of it. Now, it's not going to be successful. There's no way they're going to be able to pass that through both the House and the Senate, you know, unless something happens and maybe they assassinate a Republican or something like that and, like, give themselves the edge. But, you know, God forbid they do that. But that's why they're trying to get rid of it. So, yeah, if they do, he's going to be protected. You know, it will be, to many people, it will be enraging. You know, I think that for all of us, I mean, the idea of President Trump being put behind bars, it's horribly offensive, right? Yeah. I mean, like, you know, it's so disgusting. And it's the ultimate culmination of their every effort to try to destroy him, to delegitimize him. But it doesn't work. Stephen A. Smith said that Black America resonates with Donald Trump. Why? Because they're using lawfare against him, because they're using the court system against him. And what have the left said over and over and over again? That we have a Justice Department, that we have a legal system that is biased against Black America. Okay, and they're now going to tell us that our legal system, our Justice Department is perfectly blind, completely unbent towards the left? No, I'm sorry. Okay, you don't get it both ways. The justice system in America is broken, and what they've done to a whole segment of the American population is now being acted out in real time on a former president of the United States. For what reason? Not because he's guilty, not because he's committed any crimes, but because he is going to beat the shit out of Joe Biden in November.
He sure freaking is, dude. And you know what?
Mm-hmm.
Knock on wood, there's no way you could steal it without the goofiest of election fraud on planet Earth. It already was pretty much at that level with massive spikes in the middle of the night. It was already was pretty goofy in 2020. At this point, it's literally got to be circus level to where the whole country, even people who voted for Biden, roll their eyes and go, well, you know what, man, they're definitely stealing these elections. So,
well, get ready. because so two things. Biden is apparently considering giving amnesty to millions of illegals, okay, to just making them citizens. Obviously, that is to allow them or to ensure that they vote, okay? And of course, yeah, if they're given amnesty and they're just, you know, set up shop, you know, the ones that are already here that are getting driver's licenses in states like California, New York and stuff, I'm sure that they're going to try to vote anyways, okay? They may not be successful, but they're going to try. You know, not only that, but they're giving housing, they're giving food, they're giving food stamps, they're being given health care. I mean, just across the board, job training. And then the other part is that apparently Biden is considering declaring a climate emergency to give him the same type of powers that Trump had during the pandemic, okay, which would basically allow him to do whatever he wants, okay, and once he's got that power, well, then he would whatever the heck he wants. Now, both of those scenarios, if either of them come true, again, it's the same thing. It is such a transparent move, an attempt to undermine what's happening in America, to stop Trump, to make it so that Biden has some edge, because I'll tell you what, the American people, living, breathing, red-blooded American citizens will not be voting for Joe Biden. Now, the ivory tower, Harvard-educated elites of America, the employees of the Central Intelligence Agency and the other intelligence agencies that are lusting after another term of Joe Biden, they'll, of course, vote for him. And of course, there will be a ton of fake votes for him as well. But I simply do not believe that they will be able to overcome the will and the showing of the American people. This is going to be the biggest election in history.
Yes, biggest election in history. One of the biggest elections, I think, in world history. Just straight up. And it's funny. A lot of, Mexican culture or just South American, Central American culture is they're very Catholic. They're very conservative in a weird way.
Yeah.
It would be so funny if he gave them amnesty and then they had no reason to like pretend to be Democrats anymore and they just voted for Trump anyway.
I know that would be amazing. I don't want my son dating a dude with a dick.
Oh my god.
Men have penises, girls have vaginas, you know, like this is true in every country. Yeah, Hispanics are conservative, Hispanics have families, Hispanics are Catholic. Yeah, you know, I mean, like that would be such sweet justice if that were to happen.
Oh my god, it would be freaking amazing. I grew up around a lot of Hispanics, so I'm just like thinking in my head, I'm like, man, they really don't align, and a lot of them are not shy about how much they don't like a lot of this liberalism, so it would just be ironic, but who knows. And then who knows also if it's a lot of the younger generations too who are coming over the border, and again, like our Gen Z, they might not be as hip to the old conservative ways either, but that would be pretty funny. Now we have a couple more sponsors here, Zach.
Okay, I think one of
these
go.
You might like. Actually, both of these. So, Ready Radio. If you guys got clams for comms for a communication blackout, this should be in. The cost and complexity of a ham radio is overwhelming. Ready Radio is your answer. Handheld ham radios, ready when you need them. Programmed for your specific zip code and shipped to your door by diehard Badlander and America First family in Montana. Ready Radios will keep you connected to loved ones in your community and beyond. Don't spend thousands of dollars or hours getting into ham radios. It isn't feasible if you just want backup for communication when the grid is down. Get Ready Radio for every member of your crew with no monthly fee ever. Head over to badlandsmedia.tv/ready, enter promo code Badlands to save 10% on your purchase. Note, an FCC license is required to transmit on ham frequencies, but there are exceptions in an emergency. ReadyRadio.com. So again, that's badlandsmedia.tv/ready and promo code Badlands. And then we also have here, because I know you're a big coffee drinker, we have Loaded Gun Coffee. Wake up to the bold flavors of Loaded Gun Coffee, where passion, precision, and patriotism infuse every sip. As a veteran-owned business, we ensure each cup is steeped in pride and unwavering commitment. Our roasters handpick the finest coffee beans from around the world and have mastered unique brewing methods. Our skilled farmers cultivate the coffee to embody the essence of duty and honor in every meticulously crafted blend. But it's more than just coffee. It's a family-enduring commitment to freedom. Military veterans tracing their legacy back to the Civil War, wow, including Purple Heart recipients, Loaded Gun Coffee is a brewed testament of pride and honor. Dedicated to preserving the integrity and strength of our beloved nation, we proudly stand as fierce advocates for a secure border and a strong America. And we stay loaded. Stay loaded, Badlanders, with Loaded Gun Coffee. Badlandsmedia.tv/loaded and enter promo code Badlands for 10% off your purchase. Link in the description. I'm sure it is wonderful.
So, funny enough, I'm drinking Loaded Gun Coffee right now. I also met the owner of Loaded Gun Coffee this weekend at GART, and he was super cool and gave me his business cards. I'm calling him this week, actually, and it truly is great coffee, 100%. Yeah, and it is a family-owned business. They totally jive with all of our values, and there was a point that I wanted to make, and I'm sorry. Okay. To anybody who's afraid about Biden, you know, giving himself some, you know, emperor god status, you know, this is a very different scenario from what we had under the pandemic. You know, all of the governors essentially they agreed to cede powers over to the president. Okay, and they went along with it, right? You know, they were like, okay, cool. You know, we don't want people to die. Or maybe they were like, we know nobody's going to die, but we're just, you know, we want to destroy Trump. We're going to shut the country down. But slowly over time, people, you know, realized what was really happening. The situation that we're in now, nobody thinks we're in a climate emergency. No, right. Joe Biden is destroying America's ability to sustain itself because he's shutting down access to mining roads. He's shutting down oil wells. He's rejecting people's applications to drill. You know, he's killing American energy, and American energy is what Donald Trump was able to foster. He was able to create an energy independent America. And that's one of the reasons why people were doing so good. So, in the same way, you've got the governors of Florida, the governor of Texas, looking at what Biden's done with the border and saying, nuh-uh, I'm not going to play along. We're going to go ahead and do this our own way. I truly think that you're going to see this renaissance, this restructuring of the power in America. And the states are going to look and say, you know what? We don't have an energy. We don't have a climate disaster or a climate emergency. We've got a border emergency. So they're going to say, no way. We're not going to play your game this time, Joe Biden. And that's exactly what we need. We need our 50 individual states to take back that sovereignty from the federal government. We've ceded it, okay? There is no reason that we need to allow the federal government to dictate to us that we should be out here destroying ourselves. If they're not going to do their responsibility and keep America safe and keep America prosperous, then the states themselves are going to have to do it. And so I don't think that it's going to work. I think it's going to be another example of Joe Biden taking that Scooby-Doo mask off and saying, I would have gotten away with it too if it wasn't for you meddling kids.
Oh my God. And especially too, yeah, that's a good point, where everyone was, even like Republican governors were sort of like, okay, man, this pandemic, we got to do what we got to do. There's going to be at very least the pushback of that. And then again, we're clearly not in a climate emergency. So it's going to go over like a lit balloon. I don't know
how he's going to pull it off. It's not going to work. I mean, it's going to be just so obvious that he's just trying to grab as much power as he possibly can to try to stop Trump. That's the only thing they're focused on. I mean, they haven't shut up about Trump. Never. They've never stopped talking about him. Like, everything is about Trump.
It's the same thing Obama did. Obama spent his first, like, term and a half just everything was Bush. And if there was, like, bro, you're in for 5 years. Obviously, it's not him. Even if it was for, like, maybe 1 year, it's not. And that's just kind of their thing, that they don't have great policies. So they have a couple, like, hot-button carrot and stick things like abortion, and then the rest is just cutting down the other side. That's their whole market. And the left in general, all they do is cut down people. They say they want to help the black community, but all they do is cut down the white community. And they don't help the black community, but all of a sudden, you start saying, well, you know, we're trying to even you out. They want to help a different one, and they just cut down the other. They don't help or do anything. So that is a bad system. And again, like you're saying, that will just show people all he wants is full power. Like you were saying before, with the Trump, if he does go to jail, he will turn that into a campaign ad. All it looks like is political persecution. It's what it looks like right now, whether he goes to jail or not. So at the end of the day, this is all backfiring. It's going to be freaking glorious. I'm sure the summer's going to be a little nuts. So you're ready for that.
You know what they call that?
Yeah.
You know what they call that, Brad? That's the boomerang effect. Okay. All of this shit is just swinging back around and smacking them in the face. Nothing works. None of their plans are going to come to fruition. You know, it's going to be rough. You're right. This summer is going to be crazy, and the closer we get to the election, the more likely it is that just awful things are going to happen. But just keep yourself together, okay? Remember, I said this in the chat earlier, it's always darkest before the dawn, okay? There's no way around it. I mean, that's the nature of things. That's how it works. And they will try anything that they can get away with, but we just can't let them get away with it.
Yeah, it's always darkest before dawn. I love that. Another good one is, like, if anyone out there, if you just mess with Rubik's Cubes, there's like 4 or 5 turns before the end. All of a sudden, it looks extra jumbled, and then it's pop, 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 and it's done. And so sometimes things look extra broken apart before the pieces fall together in the right way. Yep. So I like that, man. And also, too, there's a lot of things going on. Both sides are, for a couple of years now, have just been throwing haymakers at each other. So I think it's also a little bit volatile. And we'll be cool. We all stay together and band together like we've been doing. We've gotten through 3.5 years of this guy's presidency. We'll get through this, whatever Summer of Love Part 2 that they got planned, or who knows what they have this time. And it makes us stronger. We're stronger for every infraction that has been levied against us, or everything that really sucked at the time it happened. It's all strengthened us as a community. So that's the silver lining I'm looking forward to.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, Trump won another primary. Yet again. Yeah,
I think he won a couple, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I was just on. I was just scrolling his page here. He's
and Biden lost more uncommitted voters.
This says, I don't know if this is a primary. It says, these are just polls. Okay. Trump destroys Biden in Georgia, crushes Biden in Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, North Carolina.
What were the numbers in Pennsylvania, Brad? I want to know what uncommitted was. I want to know what Biden was. And I want to know what Trump was.
He doesn't have exact sources here, but he's numbers. He's sourcing Bloomberg, and he's saying 46 to 47. So Bloomberg is showing him just ahead in Pennsylvania. The other ones were a little better. Georgia was 49% to 43%, and Wisconsin 48 to 44, North Carolina 51 to 41, Arizona 49 to 42, it looks like he's doing pretty good here in all these different states. Arizona, 49 to 42. I like that he posts a lot of these, because it's the same thing they do, right? It's all you want to say it's like psychological warfare, but it is. When you keep seeing these things, they really start to resonate, and that's what they do with their BS. So you might as well throw some truth in their face.
All right. So Trump took 790,400 votes in Pennsylvania. Nikki Haley, she's on the ballot, so they voted for her. 157,581. So that's basically 158 plus 790. So 790 plus 158, essentially. 790,000 plus 158.
That's almost like a strip, like 83% or something like that.
948,000 votes. Joe Biden took 941,000 votes. Dean Phillips, okay, the nobody that nobody knew about, okay, who's also still on the ballot, took 69,000 votes. And then write-ins, which is that uncommitted category in Pennsylvania, is 60,000. Okay. So you're looking at potentially here another 120,000 plus votes that may refuse to vote for Joe Biden come November. And Donald Trump combined Republican votes, that's already more than Joe Biden had in Pennsylvania this time around. So by the time we and you know, there's no independent primary here. It's RFK Jr.'s there. What's going to happen when we get to the election in November and RFK is on that ballot alongside Donald Trump and alongside Joe Biden? I guarantee you he's going to take a significant portion of these write-ins, maybe the Dean Phillips votes, certainly some of the people who even voted for Joe Biden in this primary. So you know, it's going to be very difficult for them to pull the same kind of BS that they pulled previously.
Yeah, I'm surprised he's running. Yeah.
Oh, one more thing. Sorry.
Absolutely. Yeah.
The RNC, essentially run now by the Trump Organization. Okay.
Yes,
training lawyers, placing people in the states, the swing states where they stole it in 2020. And ensuring that they're unable to do the same type of garbage this time around. I just don't see it happening. Yeah.
That's freaking awesome, man. Yeah, I love that Lara Trump is there now. And she was very involved in the Trump administration. So she's not very in the limelight. So a lot of people were like, oh, Eric's wife is at the RNC. Oh yeah, dude, she's been involved from the beginning. She was very big in his YouTube. I think she ran his whole YouTube page for a while. She said it was big in setting up his rallies. She's very big organizing behind the scenes. So that's amazing that she's there. And yeah, man, I think we got some good times ahead. We also have some cool super chats here. Guys, I'll be doing the super chats tonight. Okay, thanks. Kurt says, hey, Brad, a little off point, but where can we find 9/11 videos you made? My World Trade Center 7 video is on my Rumble, which is just at Brad CGZ, or if you put in Where We Go One, We Go All, it will come up on Rumble. Actually, I think it might be up also on my YouTube. I kind of steer. There's really no reason to be on YouTube anymore anyway. But the other one, my original one, I am adding a whole bunch of cool stuff to it and fine-tuning it. So that will hopefully be up eventually too. But there are a lot of good stuff in the World Trade Center 7 one. Diana D11 says, Zach, it was such a great pleasure to meet you. Okay, this is what you're talking about. And she said she was sad to miss me. You two are my oldest creators on Badlands. And you need to get some sun. Snow cat operator says, I'm thrilled to hear Zach broadcasting again. Felt like an eternity. Yeah, well, you broadcast so much, dude. Couple days is an eternity without the corruption.
It is, yeah. Yeah. People start emailing and asking if I'm still alive.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny. LW Cross donating for your rant. Yeah, you had a good rant there in the middle. I need to find that and cut it out when you were talking about Ukraine and stuff. Mike's Miss 321, Zach, been listening to you since 2017. My dad worked at NASA 20 years on Gemini shuttle programs. Wow, pretty cool. I have his notes from the shuttle.
Send me an email.
Von Braun, yeah, and not well, ooh, but was always in the blockhouse with him. Right. So yeah, if you could email Zach, that'd be freaking amazing.
Yeah, that'd be great. I'd love that.
Diana the 11th is great, Roxanne. Someone please clip that fire for Normans. Yeah, amen, dude. Brian Murphy says, no one's talking about mean tweets anymore, LOL. Yeah, give me some mean tweets and cheap eggs and cheap gas and with a healthy side of ornery expos from DJT now. Amen, dude. Winning indeed. Salt Mountain ODA says, Trump is going to get arrested for skipping court to attend his son's graduation next month. Yeah, what do you think of that? I think he might do it. I think it's a little nasty that they don't want, that they're not allowing him to, but
It's disgusting. It's personal, you know? I mean, it has nothing to do with the law, has nothing to do with any sort of precedence. I think Donald Trump should skip court, and I think that he should go. There is no reason he should not be allowed to see his son Barron graduate high school. It's a momentous occasion.
Yeah, you know what? The fact that they've put it in and they haven't said, you can, it just makes them look bad. Dude, all this stuff is like, did they even realize, like, the whole world is watching them right now? And they are just looking like little spiteful shits. Dave75 says, Zach, you sound like you recorded this in the 40s. You should do some ad spots with this sound setup. I'm an old animated reporter. An old animated reporter voice. That could be funny. I think your phone sounds a lot better than I thought it was going to. I gotta say, man.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
So when Russia began their specialized military action in Ukraine, I actually did do like a 2-minute short where I used that like 1940s radio reporter effect, and I was like, you know, January 2017. I don't remember exactly what I said, but you know, Russia invades Ukraine, and it was just like one of the news reels that you would see at the movie theater if you're going to watch like you know, some patriotic movie. It's on my channel. I'll see if I can find it and share it out.
I freaking love it, dude. He says, Dave 75. I think it would be a cool effect for ads. Yeah, amen, dude. Starborn 01 says, you guys should watch this. It fits perfect with the first topic. It's funny. I just pulled it up. I actually had this keyed up. We could play it, so only 11 seconds. But yeah, it's just another in a long line of embarrassing Biden moments.
Imagine what we can do next. 4 more years. Pause.
4 more years. Pause.
Pause.
Read bottom. Pause. This is the actual
God, he's shot. He's totally shot.
And then we have one more here from Diane D11. Brad, where can we find your natural disasters on the Trump video? You can find that's still up on my YouTube, and then it's also up on my Rumble I've been doing with the playlist, so they should be a little easier to find out. Everything was very buried for a while, but this Rumble has playlist. It's pretty sweet. But yeah, and if I find that, maybe at the end we'll run the outro, I'll put it in the chat for you as well. But yeah, for 4 more years, pause. I mean, this has got to be like the fourth or fifth time he's read the directional on the prompter. That's just what an empty vessel this guy is.
I think it's even more than that, Brad. You're being way too generous.
Yes, it is a lot of things wrapped in the one. And then we also got our friends over here on the Foxhole. Phil B. Meese says hi to my favorite guys, Cookie. DB63Me says, you guys are fun. Here's a phone for Zach's phone. Nice. Ohio Kimmy throwing in a cookie. Michelle Ann throwing in a cookie. And Filter Dog 1 with the shades. Hello, guys. Say hello to Pilth. Hello, Pilth.
Hello. Hello, Pilth.
Amen. Well, dude, this has been a lot of fun. And I'm sure you're probably exhausted from GART and then the premiere and everything. So I'm really glad you were able to come on today. No internet and all.
Well, I'm a trooper. It's been difficult to not be able to do my show. Like, I can't even use my computer, you know. I mean, it only works because of the internet, basically. So anyways, it was great being here. I really hope that my internet's back on tomorrow. If you guys follow me on Telegram, on Truth, on X, I will put an announcement out there, and I'll let you guys know if I'm gonna be able to go live. I'm just keeping my fingers crossed and my hands together, and we'll hope that everything works out in the end.
Yeah, amen to that, dude. And we will see you guys again next week. Till then.
Peace. Take care.
Thank you so much for joining us, and don't forget to hit the thumbs up on this video. And a special thank you to all of our advertising partners. Please remember to shift your dollars to support those businesses that support Badlands Media.